This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. The Memorial of Saints Margaret Clitheroe, Anne Line, and Margaret Ward. By Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold, I send to you prophets, and some of them you will put to death, some you will scourge and persecute from city to city. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. That verse I just read is from a few verses after the reading in the Gospel left off this evening. Behold, I send you prophets, and some of them you will put to death, and some you will scourge and persecute from city to city. That Gospel, in its entire context, is our Lord Jesus Christ admonishing to follow good doctrine and not the bad example of their hypocritical and iniquitous religious leaders. This is something that is going to go on from generation to generation to generation. Our Lord says himself, Amen, I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. They came upon that generation and the one after, and the one after, and it will continue until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. As a matter of fact, I would say that it's going to become worse and worse. I shouldn't say because I say, because the scriptures tell us this. This is our lot in this world. We have to heed the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to follow good doctrine and not the bad example of hypocritical and evil religious leaders. The leaders of whom our Lord speaks in his day, the Pharisees and the scribes, who outwardly indeed appear to be just, but inwardly are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They dress nice, they look nice, they do ritual nice, but inside, and you can tell by their opening of their mouth that they are full of hypocrisy, they don't act in their lives like they teach. They are truly iniquitous. They are evil. Again, things are not going to change. But our Lord says also in the same breath of it not changing with the evil leaders that the fact that he will send prophets. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who speaks the word of God. You can always tell the good leaders from bad leaders. You don't have to guess. You don't have to give theology exams. You can sit back and you can listen. Leaders, bad or good, how can you tell? St. Paul teaches us in the first reading how you can tell. He says, you have received from us the word of God. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is indeed the word of God. The preaching of a good leader, like St. Paul, it doesn't win you friends. It did not win Paul friends. As a matter of fact, there are all kinds of people, Jews, foreigners, Greeks, that tried to kill him time and time again. I mean, tried and then failed to do. They actually a couple times thought he was dead because of what they did to him, and they went about their business. St. Paul didn't win any friends. Why? Because he spoke the truth of God. He spoke the truth of God to the religious leaders of his day, of whom he used to count himself. But now that he knew the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, now the truth of God wasn't what the iniquitous religious leaders wanted to hear. They wanted to harden their hearts, and that's what happens. St. Paul gives us the idea. When some religious leader speaks to you from Scripture, or he speaks of the traditions of the Catholic Church or the magisterial teaching to the Catholic Church that have always, since the Church's inception, been taught, then you know you're on pretty decent ground, because no religious leader should speak of his own. He should never say, I think, or God forbid he would say that the church changes, but nonetheless, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And indeed, if you preach his word, it's the same word that he preached. It is apostolic. This is the litmus test for a good leader, one who is just. For you, brethren, says St. Paul, are become followers of the churches of God. Everywhere on the face of the planet Earth, says St. Paul, where there is a church of Jesus Christ, they all believe and teach the same thing. There is no variation between what they think. They don't say, well, the apostles back 20, 30 years ago preached that, but now we know better because we want to get along with the Jews. And for us to get along, we have to ease up on our teaching. No, that is not what our Lord Jesus Christ nor St. Paul speaks about. We are to become followers of good doctrine. That good doctrine is disseminated to us through the church. Just this week, and you've got to be so careful, because as our Lord Jesus Christ says, that the leaders are outwardly indeed appear to be just in man's eyes. Just this week, what do we hear? We hear that we shouldn't be so caught up in sins that are condemned in the Bible as abominable to Almighty God. Time and time and time again, the sin is an abomination. The sin is an abomination. And then we hear this week, yeah, there's a lot of Catholics who are really caught up on that stuff about this sin. And, you know, the church, they have to realize the church can change her teaching on things. And the examples used on the church changing her teaching were slavery and the death penalty. Nowhere in Scripture, ever, not once, is slavery condemned as a sin. Is it a good thing? No, absolutely not. But it is a social construct. It is a social construct that has been everywhere on the face of this planet, and slavery has affected every tribe, tongue, race, ethnic background of people on the face of this planet. It always has been there, and it still is here. Go to some part. The ones who are slaves mostly are Christians. Slavery is a bad thing. It is never condemned in Scripture, because Scripture doesn't condemn, because it knows it's just one of those parts of fallen nature. Wars aren't good either, but our Lord Jesus Christ said, you're going to have them. Don't get worried about them. Wars are a result of the sin, curse, and fallen world, just as slavery is, has been in the past, prevalently, a sign of a sin, curse, and fallen world. But never is it condemned in Scripture as a sin. The death penalty. Interesting. Not only is the death penalty never spoken of as a sin, the Scriptures and the traditions of the church and the magisterial teachings of the church throughout history have said that the death penalty is a necessity, an absolute necessity in fulfillment of the commandment of protecting life. So to use that as an example where the church has changed her teaching, yes, it has, according to some. Wrongly. Wrongly, because the church doesn't teach that. The church teaches just the opposite. But that sin that some people are so adamant that we need to change our outlook on, that, that is condemned time and time and time again in Scripture as an abomination before God. When a leader of the church says something like that, it shows that he is might appear outwardly to be just, but inwardly full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This is just an objective fact. These are times in which we live. Our Lord Jesus Christ says that it will happen from generation to generation. But he is always there to help us out. He said, evil leaders are always going to be there, but he always sends prophets. He always sends prophets and they may seem the most obscure folks. You know, we usually think about prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah who wander about and confronted sin in their city and were chased by kings and queens and did all kind of miraculous things like call fire down from heaven. But a prophet doesn't necessarily call fire down from heaven, although some have. A prophet, by definition, is a person who speaks the word of God, who speaks the word of God, not just with their lips, but in their lives. Today, we honor three of them, three English martyrs, all women who were prophets, Almighty God, not just in what they spoke, but particularly in the way they lived their lives. Margaret Clitheroe, who was pressed to death while she was pregnant under the door of her own house. Took her 15 minutes to die as they piled stones on her and suffocated her under the door of her own home, a pregnant woman. They did that to her because she would not enter a plea to the charge of harboring Catholic priests. Well, why didn't she just plead not guilty? Because if she had pled not guilty, that would have led to a trial. And the laws in England of that day said, if there is a trial, we can take your children, of which she had three, and we can force them to testify in the trial. And before we do that, we will torture them. This is why she would not enter a plea. She knew what they would do her if she didn't. And they did. That is a prophet. Anne Lyne, again, another woman who harbored priests. She did plead. They brought her before the court after they had hung her up and scourged her, fulfilling our Lord's words, some of you they will put to death, some of you will scourge and persecute. She is a manifestation of the fulfillment of what our Lord Jesus Christ said. Anne Lyne, after they hang her up and scourge her, which a lot of people died after that beating, that she stood in a courtroom, and she was a gentry woman. All of these women were gentry women. They were all women of means. And Anne Lyne stood in front of the court when they asked her how she pleaded. And she said, and she repeated these words on the scaffold when they were getting ready to hang her. She says, I quote, I am sentenced to die for harboring a Catholic priest. And so far I am from repenting of having so done that I wish with all my soul that were I have entertained one, I could have entertained 1,000. They don't like hearing things like that. And then Margaret Ward, gotta love her, again, arrested for harboring Catholic. She actually helped one escape from jail. She went to visit him several times, which draws attention to yourself, and she went so many times so she could sneak a rope in to let him out because they stopped. The more she came, the less attention they paid to her. And she went in and gave him a rope. He lowered himself down. So, of course, when they go in the cell and he's gone, we're going to arrest her, duh, because she's the last one's in there. Didn't have a rope before she went in there. Now he's gone. And Margaret Ward, after they scourge her, they brought her in and they said, you know what? You're just a silly woman. You don't know theology and everything. You know, you think you're a Catholic, but that's an evil thing. So we're going to do this. We will pardon you. You're sentenced to death, but we will pardon you, Margaret Ward, if you just attend a Protestant service. Margaret Ward laughed at them and would not do it. I look at these stories, you know, as I was meditating upon this today, and I'm thinking about the readings and our Lord's admonition that he's going to send us prophets. And I say, they are sometimes the most obscure of folks. And I look at these three, and it really convicted me of something that I say quite frequently. I say quite frequently from up here, a lot of times in private conversation, of the feminization of the church. I shouldn't say that. I was kind of convicted of saying that today because you know why? Because these three women were the pinnacles of femininity. They were all feminine. They were all gentry women. They're all about their finery and things like that. And they stood up for the faith like this. So the church is a whole lot farther down. It hasn't been feminized. If it was feminized, these could be an example for them. Because in their femininity, they stood up to certain death to present the faith, to live the faith, to facilitate the faith in the face of death. These women are exponentially more manly than most of the men in the church of our day and age. Sorry to say that, guys, of which I am one of you, but it's true. I wish the church was feminized if women would do this. These are the times we live because our Lord said that this generation shall not pass until these things happen. They continue to happen. We need to stand and embrace good doctrine and shun bad examples. That's what our Lord tells us to do. It shouldn't be a big quandary for us to contemplate this. It's not, you don't have to, well, what's good doctrine? As I said before, what Scripture teaches, what the church has always taught, what the magisterium has always taught. You follow those things and you're going to be okay. When something new pops up, then you should really, really take notice. And if you want to buy into it because you want to get along with everybody, isn't that what we hear about so often in our day? Getting along with everybody. Well, but you get along with everybody because everybody's pretty much the same anyway. You know, just all we're all seeking God and our own righteousness. A woman stood there and that old adage, I'd die before I'd do that. She said it about going to a Protestant service, and it was true. I would rather die than go. And now you hear, oh, they're just like everybody else. I cannot think of enough adjectives to describe what a disservice, what a dishonor that kind of talk does to a woman who endured what she did for the truth of the Catholic faith. The Catholic faith that has been once and forever delivered to us by the saints. These women should put men in the Catholic Church to absolute shame in our day and age. This is the reality of Scripture. Again, this isn't one of those times when you, oh my gosh, bad things are going to happen. Bad things are here. Bad things have always been here. This should be encouraging. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, they're going to happen. And he said, but I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to provide people who do speak the words that the apostles spoke. I am going to give you men and women who speak the truths of the Catholic faith as they have always been handed down. They may be far and few between, but I'm going to give them to you. Listen to them and not to people who might look good on the outside. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.